Salo Falava. I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field, the sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacifica sport. So let's dive off the blocks and get to what's coming up on the show. You will hear how the Cavite Silktails are tracking in 2026. They are the under 21 Fijian rugby league team who've been playing in Australia in the Australian competition for a few years, and one of their coaches, Joe Sakuru, is particularly excited about the next generation.
The youth in this squad and the excitement around these boys playing in this competition and watching how quick they can adapt. Exciting times for us.
We'll chat through the latest results in the OFC Pro League.
Nice cross. Samuel again. It's in! Alex Samuel, third time lucky. And Vanuatu United have their goal. And it's game on here.
And hear from Ben Khan, the coach of my adopted team. Yes, the Solomon Kings, how good are they going? We'll also talk through news in the worlds of netball, cricket, badminton, rugby union, league and more. But everyone knows I need a lot of help just in life in general, but you know, on this show as well. So every week I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. And this week we have Solomon Islands Brekkie radio host Cynthia Setter, as well as Fijian reporter for FBC Taina Basialo. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to you both.
Hello, Sam.
Now that's all good. Jump in together. It's all good. Hello, Keta. Bulavinaka. Dolavina. Love the combination of the Solomon Islands and the Fijian flavour here. Cynthia, I'm just going to throw to you quickly here. Last week on the show, we heard about a sport I knew nothing about, and the Solomon Islands were competing in it. It's floorball. You're in Honiara. Have you heard of this sport? Did you know what it was about? Was there a buzz around the town?
Well, it's really big news for our very young, talented boys here in the Solomon Islands. You know, the game was just introduced some years ago. And I think with the improvements that the floorball team has been doing, has everyone going around like cheering for the boys. And I believe that some of the boys have also traveled overseas to play on the floorball competitions that's been held regionally. So, yeah, it's been great hearing a lot of stories about these boys performing well in the floorball competitions, yeah.
Taina, have you heard of the sport? And do you know of any other niche sports that you've probably come across in your time?
No, I actually haven't heard about that sport before. And I'm just curious to know, do you also use something sort of like a hockey stick as well to play the sport?
Yeah, so it's almost similar to the hockey stick that hockey players used.
There you go. Fastest growing sport apparently in the world at the moment. But thank you for that. But let's get into the show.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, we're going to get to the big bowl. The big bowl is where we come together. We take a seat on the mat and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back, fill your cup as myself, Cynthia and Taina run through the must-know sports news in the region.
The Big Bowl.
Man, every time I just hear that little sting, that music, I just want to sit back and relax and just enjoy life for what it has to offer. But we need to get through some news, though. Cynthia, you're up first. And one of the sports that really kicks off the year in the Pacific is tennis. There was a regional junior tennis tournament in Honiara scheduled to start a couple of days ago, but was postponed. What happened there?
Well, as you know, here in the Solomon Islands, currently we're experiencing really, really heavy rain at the moment, and it has been going on since last week. As of last week, we've been experiencing a lot of rain here in Honiara, and although the rain has been disturbing all of us in work and in sports, there's been some really, really interesting sports activities happening in the Solomon Islands, because for the very first time, we are so fortunate to host the anticipated West Pacific tournament. So it has already been opened on the 26th of this month. That is just on Monday this week. Unfortunately, I think the rain has really, really disturbed these young tennis players from around the region and Solomon Islands.
Firstly, which countries are competing in this tournament?
So, currently in the Solomon Islands in Honiara are very beautiful children from Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu will be setting their eyes on the court. They're playing in the under 12, under 14 and under 16 categories.
Okay, so if it's rain delays, what do you think kids are doing to occupy their time? Because if that's me, then I didn't have to play, I'll be getting up to mischief, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I think with the temporary postponed games that the Solomon Islands organizing committee has been giving out, I think they have resumed back as of yesterday, and the first set of matches were continued as of yesterday with more games happening on the court.
Beautiful. And is there anyone that we should be looking out for?
So in the girls' tie, Solomon girls team secured a 2-0 win over Fiji, and the Solomon girls team won, have followed up with another 2-1 victory against Vanuatu as of yesterday. And more highlights and updates from yesterday. PNG swept past Solomon Islands with a 4-1 and 4-2. Vanuatu team in a tight game against Solomon Islands. Solomon Islands narrowly escaped out with a 4-2 win against Vanuatu yesterday. So I think PNG is definitely a team to look out for.
Yeah, nice team, PNG. How good. And Tina, we can't leave Fiji out. There's some young up-and-coming stars. But how good is it that a young girl or young boy from the villages can dream and travel the world, travel the Pacific, doing something that they love?
Well, you know, not most of the time, but normally when I go up and cover tennis games, I usually see the excitement in young kids' faces just because of where the sport of tennis is taking them. And I'm actually keen to know, because here in Fiji, tennis only has like a small community that supports the sport. What is it like in the Solomon Islands? What's the hype like around the sport of tennis?
Well, yes, Tina, here in the Solomon Islands, you know, tennis has always been a fancy game and attracted a lot of very young players. And I can see that for this competition, which is a really, really important event for junior tennis in the Pacific, as it serves as the qualifier for the Pacific Oceania Junior Championships. You know, every fans has been on the court, around the court, where the event is happening, giving young athletes chance to show their support. But at the same time, it's nice to see how these young people come out and representing their regional nations and develop their skills, gain experience on the regional stage. So all the fans are excited here in the Solomon Islands to see the competition going on, giving all their support to each of the regional athletes representing their nations.
I can tell you right now, the closest I got to the tennis court in Fiji, in Suva there, was to have a pizza at that restaurant. Great cheese pizza, that's for sure. Tina, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly what you're talking about.
But just before we round up tennis, I just want to shout out Abigail Terry Apisa from PNG, who was named the Billie Jean King Cup captain, and Amrik Mara from Vanuatu, who was named the Davis Cup captain for the Pacific Oceania teams. Such a huge honour, and they will compete later this year in those tournaments.
Tune in to Pacific Beat for all the latest news from around the Pacific region. Pacific Beat features interviews with leaders, newsmakers, and the people who make the Pacific beat.
Two unidentified men came out of the gate and straight away started to push me around. Had the door slammed onto my face. And what was surprising was that even the police were present there, they did not do anything.
Pacific Beat, weekdays at 6 a.m. and 5 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Tana, it's your turn to dip into the big bowl. We know that the biggest sport in Fiji is rugby union, and it's just over 2 weeks away until the Super Rugby Pacific season gets underway between the Drua and Moana Pacifica, then La Toka. So naturally, you've got the Fijian Drua on your mind. How are they looking?
Well, the side, they're actually in New Zealand at the moment, ready to meet the Chiefs tomorrow at 2 p.m. This is going to be their first pre-season match, which is also crucial build-up for the 2026 season. Now, I must say it's a significant match for the side because it also marks the Drua's first ever appearance in the Bay of Plenty region and the first time that they're playing a pre-season match in New Zealand as well. It's always either been in Australia or New Zealand, and their second pre-season match is next week at the Drua's Fortress, which is at Churchill Park. That's against the local team. It's a Skipper Cup select team. So I'm definitely looking forward to both, but especially the Drua against the Skipper Cup side. So I am not sure. But, you know, last year, the Chiefs finished first in last year's standings with 11 wins and 3 losses, while the Drua finished 10th with 4 wins and 10 losses. So tomorrow's game is definitely going to be a one to look out for, especially it's going to set the tone for the season ahead.
How important do you think having trial games away from home is important for their preparation, since they haven't won on the road since, I think, Moana Pacifica game in Auckland a few years ago? So how important is, you know, having this as their preparation to have a trial game away?
I think it's always important because it can gauge where they are at the moment, what they still need to work on, probably some of the things that they think that they can improve on. And, you know, they have a fortnight to fix that. And hopefully this year the side can, you know, get an away win. We're hopeful of that.
And when we think of some of the players that have left, you know, some big shoes to fill that are some of the players playing overseas, but give us one player you think is going to have a big year.
I'm going for Mordecai Murray, the flanker for the Drua. He's a promising young player.
Yeah, he's a solid, very physical player. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. But one player that I'm looking forward to, because I think it's important for this Drua side to have strong leaders, and this man here, Manasa Matele, I think he's going to do some big things.
This time they switch it the other way. Plenty of space, plenty of numbers. Manasa Matele, he scores!
Yeah, he's, it's funny enough, the Drua playing against the Chiefs. It's one of his former teams. He's also been at the Western Force. He's played at the Crusaders, and he's also played for the Flying Fijians 4 times. So I think there's some big ones there for Fiji, for the Drua. I think I'm expecting bigger things compared to last year. But one of the warm-up matches, just quickly, the Fiji selection team, who are they?
So the Skipper Cup select team, the Skipper Cup is a domestic competition, so they've selected a few players from each teams to make up this team. And, you know, it's going to also be a first ever preseason trial between the Drua and a provincial select side. And it shows the Drua's commitment to grassroots and local development. And the players that have made up this team are some promising local players as well that we hope to see on the big stage soon. But they also have big plans for the provincial side as well. You know, other plans with the FRU CEO in talks of more pathways and other things that can really get them, you know, the attention that they deserve.
Exactly. And I've got no doubt they're going to unearth the next big thing probably from that Fijian selection team. No doubt at all. But Cynthia, I'm not going to ask you for your favourite Drua player, but since I've adopted the Solomon Kings in soccer, in the football, are you going to adopt the Drua as your rugby team?
I will definitely adopt them.
You adopt them? Okay. I want to switch over to a different code. You know, switch up our big bowl. We're going to move over to the Super Bowl. Firstly, the Super Bowl. Are we any NFL fans here? Nothing? Crickets?
Crickets.
Do we know what NFL is, though? The National Football League in America.
Have heard about it, but Yeah. It's not really big here.
Okay, well, there goes my next question. I was like, well, is Super Bowl fever going to hit Fiji or the Solomons? But going off your reactions, it sounds like a lead balloon. Nothing will be happening over there. But for those who are fans of the game, Sunday, February 8th in America, in California, which is Feb 9th here in the Pacific, the New England Patriots will be taking on the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 60. So I guess, you know, when you think about the halftime entertainment, have you seen the halftime entertainment in these games? Surely you've seen that bit.
Yes.
Yes. Who's, okay, give me a name, give me an artist, give me an act that has been your favourite.
Rihanna when she was pregnant and...
Oh, yes, that was a good one. Yes.
Yes.
Cynthia, have you got one?
Yeah, I think I only saw that one too with Rihanna's performance.
Oh,
I think it was last year, is it?
Oh, a couple of years ago, maybe. My one would have had to be Snoop Dogg, Eminem. That one took the cake for me. So anyway, so at least you know that's happening in Super Bowl. But what's also a really cool thing to see is the amount of our Pacific Island talent playing NFL, but also in this Super Bowl grand final. The Patriots will have four players with Pacific Island heritage across Samoa and Tonga in that team, and the Seahawks will have two players with Pacific Island heritage playing in one of the biggest sporting events in the world. So billions of people will tune in for this game. But the standout player I want people to know about is Jailani Tavai, the New England Patriots linebacker.
In a strong week last week against Devontae Adams, they'll go with that hit to Jackson, who was in the backfield, and Tavai with a big stick, third down.
Well, Tavai just reading it on the outside. You see him right here. He's just the guy. He's going to read this from the inside out, get to that outside hip.
He's going to be named Patriots 2025 Ed Block Courage Award winner, and that's going to be given to him in March this year. And the reason why he's getting this award, it's recognized for courage, professionalism, and sportsmanship. And Tavai has had a lot of setbacks in 2025. He sustained a lot of soft tissue injuries, and in camp he was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disease in his head. So he's been back and forth with doctors, taking medication to get that under control. And when you think things probably couldn't get any worse, he and his wife, they tragically lost their unborn child. So on top of all of that, like, he's had to show a lot of courage, strength, and resilience, him and his family, to be able to get past that pain and still lace up the boots and be on one of the biggest stages and hopefully going to be a Super Bowl winner. But that was important to me, that we highlight that story, and we wish him all the best in the Super Bowl. And do we? I know we're not massive fans of it, but who are we picking, the Seahawks or the Patriots?
I'm going for the Seahawks.
It's Patriots for me. Yeah, I think I'm going to stop with the Patriots.
Okay. For whatever reasons, that's what we're doing. But that's it for the Big Bowl for now. We will refill it next week and keep you informed here on Fresh Off the Field with the must-know stories across the Pacific.
Join Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow for Nisha Daily every weekday morning on ABC Radio Australia.
Has anyone described your voice as annoying, Emily?
What are you trying to say, Michael?
Yeah, that's a leading question.
No, sorry. Like,
she came out and said to interviewers, "My family finds my voice annoying."
That's such a family thing to say,
I know.
Hey?
Yeah, burn your dreams, keep you attached to the ground.
Keep you really, really humble.
Clip your wings.
Nisha Daily, weekday mornings from 7 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Want the latest Pacific Rugby League and Union news and interviews with stars of the game? Tune in to Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona.
The Postman delivers again. And
Postman Pat.
Remember the cartoon?
Yes.
Postman Pat?
So had a black and white hat.
A cat, wasn't it?
Nation Footy, Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fresh off the field. Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
I mentioned earlier in the show that I need a lot of help, and my co-hosts do a lot of the heavy lifting to make this show as good as it can be. And I love when my co-hosts bring in an interview from their part of the world. And it's our chance to meet someone involved in the game in the region. And Taina, this week, you chatted to Joe Sakura, who is with the Cavite Silktails. Before we get into the chat, for people who don't know who the Silk Tails are, can you just give a summation on who they are?
So the Cavite Silk Tails, they play in the under 21 competition in the Jersey Flag Cup. That's in Australia. I think, the competition comes under rugby league. But for the 21 and under grade, they're currently on their ninth week of pre-season training. And I've always had a heart for this team from the start. And I spoke to their technical advisor, Mr. Joe Sokuru, about last year's great performance, their first ever away win.
They can start celebrating their third win of the season. The Cavite Tails victorious over the Melbourne Storm, 34-26 in an absolute thriller.
How good, you know, Onision footy with myself and Tinido Arona. It used to break our heart that we always had to say that, the Cavite Silk Tails lost again. But, you know, hearing the victories when it did come around, we were pumped for them as well. But that has to give them lots of hope and inspiration for this season coming up.
Yes, absolutely, Sam. And I'm pretty sure the team is hyped for the 2026 season. And I'm sure that the one away win from last season will definitely be in their heads and hearts for them to start off the season great.
Well, let's hear the chat now with Joe Sakuru from the Cavite Silk Tails. And what did you start by asking him?
Well, I did ask him about the away win that they had last year against the Melbourne Storm.
That breakthrough, the away win, the first ever, was very important. It was good for our confidence. The important and a big thing was it was against the actual premiers and the leaders of the ladder, Melbourne Storm. So to put a convincing performance on and really enjoy that performance was really important for the boys.
What's been the biggest focus for you individually during the preseason?
We're really focused on the fine skill, really the detail of each individual role for each player. We got some new boys in the squad, and we got a young squad, but focusing on the small things, on the small 1% skills in the game is what we've really focused on during this preseason.
The Silk Tails are known for their resilience, especially on the road. Where does that toughness come from within the group?
Our mental approach will be self-belief. We're going to be big on self-belief and consistency. We've got a few backing up this year from last year, but then we've got a few young ones. We've got a fair few young ones coming into the squad, and it's their first time in 26 rounds of football. No other kid in Fiji is playing 26 rounds of rugby or rugby league. So consistency and self-belief is our big focus.
What message would you send to fans ahead of the opening round?
Our approach is hard work. Once again, we're with our big brother club, the Canterbury Bulldogs, and we've had Mick Potter and Craig Wilson out here during the pre-season before Christmas, working hard with the boys and instilling a lot of that hard training ethics that come from the Bulldogs and,
As a playing group, what does success look like for the Silk Tails this season?
The standards that we've set is based around our training of work hard on and off the ball, work for your friend, work for your teammate next to you, and good things can happen. The standards we've had this week at training, there's been times where it gets a little frustrating for the coaches when there's simple errors made, but the boys are quick to pick it up and move forward and correct their errors. The youth in this squad and the excitement around these boys playing in this competition and watching how quick they can adapt. I think we're into our third year of flag, and I think with this new crop coming through now, exciting times for us.
You're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and thanks so much, Tainer, for that chat with Joe Sakuru from the Silk Tails, the Cavite Silk Tails. They start their year on Saturday, March 7th against the Panthers in Sydney, and their first game at home in Fiji is in round 4 against the Dragons at Govan Park in Bar. Cynthia, you had a question you wanted to ask Tainer.
Yeah, so Tana, you've been doing a lot of coverage in Fiji in sports, especially. How much coverage did the Silk Tails get?
Well, I really don't know how to make this sound like I'm the only one that's been doing coverage for them. But back when Wes Ngama was the coach, they used to have media Wednesdays, and I'd be the only one on that Zoom call every Wednesday at 1 p.m., no miss. And yeah, so when the coaches when the coach changed last year, they had it was a bit difficult trying to get to them. But then I made friends with their media person, who's always supplying me with stuff. I've always sent questions over, and they've always sent me stuff every Wednesday. Well, they tried to send it every Wednesday, but yeah. It's like a known thing in the, within my media friends from other media companies that I'm the Silk Tales media person because I'm always writing the stories.
Tana, do you think that's because they weren't winning and, you know, with, I guess, the draw and stuff and all the other big stories, it just goes, well, we'll go over there. But do you think winning had a bit to do with that?
That could possibly be one of the reasons it could be one of the reasons.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, hopefully they get more coverage this year because they'll get a few more wins. And I really loved when he said that they need to get the small details right. And I think for a 26-round competition, it's relentless. You know, things like turning up to training on time, making sure your passport is ready to go and your visas, all of those little things that contribute to a win, they have to nail that to be able to get a few more wins. So I appreciate that, Tony. Did a fantastic job.
To all our ABC Radio Australia listeners, welcome to 2026.
New year, new schedule, and the sounds of the Pacific right where you want them.
Yes, your favorite shows are now playing at times that suit your day, whether you're waking up, winding down, or anywhere in between.
The same trusted voices, great music, sport, news, and stories from across the Pacific, now easier to catch than ever.
Tune in, stay connected, and make ABC Radio Australia part of your 2026.
ABC Radio Australia, yours in the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Okay, we've talked a few of the big stories in the region, but there's so much news about it. So let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a.
Island hopping.
Yes, as I said, there's plenty of sport happening early on in the year, and the best way to do that is grab a paddle, jump in the va'a, and let's get paddling. First up, Cynthia, I love that we're talking Tonga to start, so I'm liking this va'a ride so far, but we're actually headed to Samoa, so you disappointed me a little bit there. No, I'm only joking. But you want to talk about the Nuku He Tulu FC, who are heading to their first ever OFC Men's Champions League in the tournament. Have they arrived in Apia yet, or are they still watching the UB40 concert that's happening in Tonga right now?
That I'm really not sure, but of course it is really, really an interesting story from this Tongan club. You know, the Nuku He Tulu FC will make the continental debut when they compete in OFC Men's Champions League 2026 in Samoa this weekend. So I'm guessing they might already headed that way this week. And they actually the third team from Tonga to play in the OFC Men's Champions League, after some of the teams like Loto Ha'apai United and Vaitonga FC, who have previously represented Tonga in continental club competition over two decades, starting back in 1999. So they're now being coached by Coach Moala, who is a former Tongan international, and he spent quite a good number of years playing with Loto Ha'apai United between 2003 to 2015. That was at a time where the club competed in six different OFC Men's Champions League campaigns, and now he's making his return to Oceania's Premier Club competition as coach, and he will be leading the Nuku He Tulu FC campaign.
Yeah, it's great news for Nuku He Tulu FC to be able to debut in this tournament. And look, I know I'm digressing a bit, but man, UB40, that concert looked amazing over there, just to let everyone know. So hopefully everyone's recovered well from that. But back to the real news here. How does the qualifying tournament work? You know, what are they what are they trying to qualify for?
For the team to win the qualifying stage and secure the spot in the final tournament in Fiji in August, something neither Vaitonga FC or Loto Ha'apai United have previously managed to achieve. And I think this one is is really important for this team.
Yeah, the OFC Men's Champions League 2026 will be held in Fiji in August, featuring domestic champions from New Zealand, New Caledonia, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, Solomon Islands, Tahiti, Vanuatu, and the winner of the qualifying tournament. Yes, Nukuhetulu will have to play against Pago Youth, American Samoa, Tupapa, Maranga FC, the Cook Islands, and Vaivasetai FC in Samoa. So they'll have to get through them to get through the qualifying rounds. So I guess, you know, when you think about American Samoa or the Cook Islands or Samoa, which one is your liking out of the countries?
Okay, well, I think I'm not saying that either one is better than the other, but I think American Samoa definitely is my team on this.
Oh, the Pago Youth. Okay, there you go. And Tana, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, the Pago Youth as well.
All right, because you've both gone then, give me a reason why.
Well, for me, I mean, I've seen a lot of football around American Samoa, but I believe that the Cook Islands has more strength in volleyball and other sports. So I think American Samoa.
I'm just thinking of that movie, Next Goal Wins, in American Samoa. So I was thinking, was that the reason why you were going for them? But I'm going to go for Tupapa. I like their rugby league team, the Tupapa Panthers. So I'm going to stay consistent and stay with the Cook Island team over there. But the games take place on Saturday, Tuesday and next Friday. So we'll keep you across those results next week. All right, Tana, you're in charge of the paddles now. We've chatted about it each week on the show so far. The first round of the OFC Pro League matches is complete. Who are the front runners so far?
Well, we have Auckland FC setting the early pace here. They've had a perfect start after three matches with maximum points. Strong balance between attack and defense, with seven goals scored and only one conceded. We have the South Melbourne FC right on the heels as well, second on the standings. Solomon Kings, your adopted team, they're third. Unbeaten after two matches with a win and a draw as well.
I knew they were going to be great. You can't have the name of a king and then not deliver.
And mid-table battle taking shape as well. We've got the South Island United in fourth, Bulla FC, their fifth, slow but steady start, yet to register a win after two matches. And straight after them, there's Tahiti United. They're still searching for momentum, one draw and a loss so far. Vanuatu is after that, on the seventh place, with three matches played and no wins yet. And then PNG Hikari FC are at the bottom of the ladder with two matches, two losses, and no goals scored. So, there's clearly early gap forming between the top two and the rest.
Yeah, there is. And the Bulla FC was so unlucky not to draw with Auckland after Nabil Beg scored this goal.
Krishna. Great play. Oh, that's tremendous. Nabil Beg has just smoked one for Mbula FC. That has turned the game on its head.
Or is it, Glenn?
No, it's been scrubbed out. Roy Krishna has been ruled offside in that play.
Heartbreak when that goal was disallowed and the old bull, Roy Krishna, was called offside. But Tana, what did you think of that performance?
I thought it was a great performance. And, just listening to the post-match conference, Coach Stefan Overy, he mentioned that, they really can't challenge the decision that has been made. So they still have belief in the team and, I'm all for it. They're fifth at the moment, but it's just the first, for them, it's just the first two because they have one match that's been postponed with a rescheduled date yet to be confirmed. So and hope still there.
Yeah, nice. And Cynthia, it's been noted every week that I am on the Solomon Kings bus. I'm riding them all the way to victory, hopefully, because I just, they've got the best name. And you've got some audio here of their coach, Ben Khan. What is he explaining here?
Well, he was talking to the OFC media about the finishing that they need to work on. And on that, back here at home, you know how the Solomon Islands supporters has always been when their team, when Solomon Islands national team is traveling to the other side of the world to perform and is participating in other sports internationally. So this one is a really important one for the fans back at home here in Solomon Islands. You know, there has been, they have been asking why the imported Japanese player for the Solomon Kings, Sota Higashide, hasn't been in the first 11 during round one of the competition. So he was explaining the reasons why Sota wasn't in the first 11 in the round one.
No, Sota was brought here to start games and improve the level of the team and ultimately improve, you know, improve football in the Solomons as a whole. He arrived in Auckland a day after us. He wasn't with us in Honiara or Brisbane, so he hasn't had the chance to train with the team. His last session was in November, so he's obviously come in quite unprepared and deconditioned. He's got new teammates to try and acclimatise to, a new competition, living away from Japan, and obviously the physical demands of what the competition brings. So, look, we'll work hard with him to prepare him and hopefully make sure he's ready to start games in PNG.
Yeah, that was Ben Khan, coach of the Solomon Kings. Sound like there was a bit of frustration in his voice around Shota Higashide. The way he showed up, it sounded like he was underdone, and so they don't want to risk any injuries if they chuck him in there straight away and start playing because maybe his fitness levels weren't there, not quite ready to perform. Like, how are the fans feeling about this?
Well, you know, he's an imported player, and so the fans back here in the Solomon Islands would really love to see him play and be with the other boys in the first 11. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and so they're expecting to see him play in this second round and hopefully be with the boys of the Solomon Kings in this round two series.
Yeah, I hope so as well. He's going to add a lot of value to that team. And Tana, we're off to PNG for the next stop in the OFC Pro League. I'm hoping for full stadiums in Port Moresby. When does the second round get underway?
So it starts this Saturday where Tahiti will face South Island United, and then the competition goes on right through to next week.
Oh, I've also checked here. And this is going to be a good one. I don't know, we timed this show perfectly for you two to be here together. The Buller FC play the Solomon Kings on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win, ladies? Talk to me.
A lot of laughing here.
No one wants to go in first. Say it with your chest.
Well, yeah, I'm going with Buller.
Okay, so I'm having your support here, Sam, since your adopted team is the Solomon King, so let's go for it, yeah?
None of you sound convincing at all. If that was me, when Tonga's playing, I'm like saying it with my chest, we're winning, even though it might be unlikely, but the Solomon Kings for the victory. Sorry to the Buller FC, I've just got to go with the Solomon Kings on that one. Okay, Cynthia, we're going to go back to you to paddle us in a new direction. And we talked about smaller sports to start the show. You've got a historic moment for Vanuatu in sport of badminton.
Yeah, so, you know, Vanuatu really, really has set some interesting history for the Pacific, becoming the only Pacific nation to compete at the Badminton World Federation, BWF, Para Badminton World Championship. This will be taking place in Bahrain from the 8th to the 14th of February 2026 in the capital city of Manama. And interestingly, Manama will become the only country in the Middle East to ever host the championship. So I'm just wondering how this event will turn out. But for the Pacific, Jacklinda Molidu from Vanuatu will be the only Pacific athlete to ever compete in the championships in Bahrain. So she's a powerful figure in the para-athlete world, especially in the Pacific. And I think her participation in this event will really, really promote badminton because, you know, badminton, I believe, I've been asking around about badminton in Solomon Islands and someone said that badminton was once upon a time played in the Solomon Islands, but I'm not really sure what badminton is like. So Molidu, a short stature disability para athlete, is setting the record for the Pacific, and I'm really inspired to watch her go on and what her performance will be like.
Yeah, congrats to those para athletes. What an achievement that they've achieved there. But yeah, watching badminton, I was actually very surprised at how quick they are. When I was at the Palau Mini Games, you know, fascinating sport. Do you ever play, Cynthia or Tana? Any badminton secret skills there?
I've never seen a badminton game before.
Okay. Tana, what about yourself?
Yeah, I haven't played badminton before, but it's an interesting game to watch. I would say it's something like table tennis, but yeah, not really that close.
Fair enough. And finally, Tana, you're steering the vata. It is your term. The arms are getting tired from, you know, from myself doing all the heavy lifting. No, not me. But we're going to make it back to Samoa for some netball news and a really positive story recognising some unsung heroes in local sport in our islands.
I absolutely love when the unsung heroes, they take attention and just get the praise that they deserve. So Netball Samoa has actually recognized its Samoa umpires cohort for their ongoing contribution to the sport. So the January spotlight highlights the crucial role umpires play in maintaining fairness, consistency and standards across social and national competitions. And also, you know, strong officiating is key to the growth of the sport and credibility of netball in Samoa, especially as competition continue to expand.
Cynthia, I believe that you want to apologise to a few referees out there for some of your poor behaviour on the courts or on the field. Is that right? Do you want to take this time to say sorry?
Well, if I've ever offended anyone in any way, any referee, I'm so sorry from the bottom of my heart.
Tana, yourself, because I'm going to go after you, that's for sure, for my apology. But Tana, surely you've offended a few referees in your time, the unsung heroes.
Yes, I have, but, you know, I've made sure to make friends and apologize. So, you know, I'm definitely happy for all the umpires getting recognized, you know.
Yes, and I should take this time to apologize to, we don't have enough time actually in the show to get through everyone, but sorry to all the referees I've offended. But lastly, when it comes to umpires, I think of the lines people, marking the lines, and I've seen some of the flags that have been used in my time across the Pacific, you know, trees and branches. Is there anything out of the ordinary that you've seen in your time in the villages that's just been wow, that's pretty interesting around refereeing and what people use as a whistle or as a flag?
For us in Fiji, we just use our mouths for those playing in the community or in the villages.
So no whistle, just the mouth?
Yeah, I like that.
Wait, do that again? That can't be loud enough, surely, unless they've got a loud brr, brr. But anyway, Cynthia, have you got something for us before we move on?
Well, you know, back at home, some of the games happening in the village and sometimes in our provincial capital, sometimes, you know, the decisions that the umpires or the linesman made didn't really go down well with some of the players,
yes.
You know, so sometimes a bit of, you know, clashing is happening on the field and then they reconciled and the game continues on. So it's interesting to, you know, watch the umpires advising the players that, you know, this is a game, so you have to really understand the sportsmanship on and off the field. So I think it's really nice to see that.
Yeah, you know, and they wonder why they don't have many friends when they become an umpire. No, but that's unreal. Love it, ladies. Absolutely love it. We've had a good paddle traveling around the Pacific for plenty of sport news. Thanks for bringing them in.
Join Natasha Metin for Sisters Let's Talk, a program that explores issues that are in the hearts and minds of Pacific women.
I cried because, you know, sharing about the challenges that I face on a day-to-day basis. As a 15-year-old, took a really big toll on me.
Mm-hmm.
It took me out of my comfort zone.
Sisters Let's Talk, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field.
uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, we've got through a fair bit today in our show. Love all the sport in action that we've covered, but it wouldn't be a sports show without a bit of healthy competition. So let's do this.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, cheers all around for Fresh Off the Dome. Every week I'll ask three questions. Cynthia and Tana, you use your name as a buzzer. And if you think you know the answer, you can play along at home too. We're going to play Fresh Off the Dome. So let's get into it. Question number one, are we ready?
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
All good.
All good to go. Question number one. This one's multiple choice. The PNG Lowers cricket team finished up their T20 World Cup qualifiers on Monday. Unfortunately, not making the next stage, but they did get a win on the weekend. Who was it against? Is it A, Namibia, B, Zimbabwe, or C, Thailand?
Taina.
Go for it.
B.
B. Ew, that is incorrect. Zimbabwe was not the team. Oh, I like the... That's very good there. Sound effects from our producer. Thank you very much. Cynthia, what are you thinking here? Is it A or C, Namibia or Thailand?
Okay, so I'm just going to make a guess here. So,
hopefully it's a good one.
Let me guess. I'll try to go with C, I think.
Thailand. That is incorrect. No points there. It was Namibia. Well done to the PNG women who did their nation proud on the big stage. They got that win against Namibia. So there we go. No points. Oh, not off to the best of starts, but here we go. Question number two is one of my favourites for the year. Okay. Giving away one of my secrets here as well. I'm supposed to be working on this trip. But anyway, the 2026 Tuna Showdown. The Tuna Showdown happened in Palau just over a week ago. It's a big tuna fishing competition. Do we like eating tuna, ladies?
Yes.
Nice, delicious tuna.
Absolutely. Bit of bluefin, perfect. True or false? I caught a 1.8-metre tuna last year fishing in Palau when I was there for the Pacific mini games, supposed to be working, and we got a little chartered boat out to Rock Island. I threw a line in, wetted it up, pulled in a massive tuna with some locals. True or false?
Cynthia?
Go for it, Cynthia.
So I think it's partly true and it's partly false. But no, I still haven't got the answer yet because you're really busy. But at the same time, I know that you really love to go out with the locals and have a chat and that. So I think I'm going to say it's true.
Okay, you think it's true?
Oh, my God.
I was convincing, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yes, I knew it.
Very convincing.
Yes. I did eat the tuna, mate. Unreal, the tuna in Palau. It was one of the best fresh bluefin tunas I've ever had in my life. So that point goes to no one. No one gets wrong. So off to a flying start. Here we go. No one's got any points. I don't think this has happened before, but let's get to question number three. This is pivotal because this 1 point win will take it. We'll take it fresh off the dome. Here we go. This one's closest to. Two Samoan Australians are fighting in the UFC 325 this Sunday in Sydney. Tai Bam Bam Tuivasa and Junior Tuffer. Junior Tuffer has a 6-4 win loss record in his 10 fights so far. The question, though, is on Bam Bam's record. So Bam Bam is Ty's nickname. He has had 22 fights. How many has he won out of those 22? Closest to this one. No multiple choice, just closest to 22 will win.
Taina.
All right, Taina.
12.
Okay. Cynthia.
So I think I'm going to say four.
Four wins out of 22. You don't rate Bam Bam, do you? You don't think he's a good fighter?
I think he is. I'm just making a guess.
I'm just putting you on the spot. But we're going to give the victory to Taina because he won 14. Taina, you guessed 12. So that closest to wins. He had 8 losses. But after winning 14 of his first 17 fights, his last 5 have been losses, so let's hope he can turn it around this week. And Batana, there you have it. It wasn't the flashes of starts, But what do they say? It's better to win ugly than lose pretty. That's what they say. Have you heard that one before?
It's the first time I'm hearing it.
You can use it in your notes for when you're covering any of the games in your media press coverage. So, all good. But, well, I should actually mention we're going to keep score this year. And by the end of 2026, we can crown an overall winner for Fresh Off the Dome, who will be our biggest sports trivia buff on the show. And, Tana, there's one win for you. So you're off to at least a good start on the biggest scale of things.
Cool.
Perfect. But okay, before we go, we have one last thing to do.
Player of the Week.
Yes, Player of the Week. Each week I'm going to tell you both about a sports person from across the Pacific, and it can be from any country, any sport, and of any ability, but it's our way of finishing with a shout out to someone great from the region. And today is Peter Taufa Tofua. Winter Olympics is in Milan, and it starts next Friday. Unfortunately, besides Australia and New Zealand, there's no Pacific Island nations being represented after American Samoa was the only Pacific nation there in 2022. So I want to shout out Bita, who's a Tongan athlete who's competed in the Summer Olympics in 2016, in 2020, and then Winter Olympics in 2018. He was born in Brisbane and went to school in Tonga, but ladies, do you know who Bita is? Do you know what he's best known for?
Flag bearer.
Oh, of course you knew. That was quick. That was too quick, Tina. he was impressive, wasn't he? Wearing his Taovala in the opening ceremony for three Olympics in a row, 2016, 2018, 2020, oiled up, ready to go, showcase. You know, when you do you think he really set the trend for some of the other flag bearers?
I think he did.
Set the competition alight there?
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia. Cynthia, do you know of our man Peter as well?
I've never heard about him. I mean, I never knew him, but of course, hearing the stories about him, is I think he is really an ambassador for the sport that he played in.
Well, like you and probably 230 other million people that did the Google search of Tonga after he first got oiled up in 2016. He was an internet sensation. He actually went against the officials who told him not to wear it and probably maybe be a little bit more conservative, but he went out there, showcased our culture, what it's about, and he did an amazing job. And the sports he competed in was taekwondo, canoeing, cross-country. Taekwondo, canoeing, cross-country skiing, and what an amazing athlete to be able to do all of that and represent our tiny island. So that's our Player of the Week. Big shout-out to Peter Taufa Tofua.
Tune in to Pacific Beat for all the latest news from around the Pacific region. Pacific Beat features interviews with leaders, newsmakers, and the people who make the Pacific beat.
It will come as no surprise that if the national government does not commit to an agreed process, it leaves us with no options but to those other options to gain independence. And let me make it absolutely clear that these options are also legal.
Pacific Beat, weekdays at 6 a.m. and 5 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
And that brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big vinaka to my two co-hosts, Solomon Islands Breakfast Radio host on SIBC, Cynthia Seda, and FBC journalist from Fiji, Tana Basialo.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Don't sound too excited, ladies, on at the end of the show and say thank you. But anyway, thanks to Bar TV, Stan and OFC for the extra audio used, and to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
To all our ABC Radio Australia listeners, welcome to 2026.
New year, new schedule, and the sounds of the Pacific right where you want them.
Yes, your favorite shows are now playing at times that suit your day, whether you're waking up, winding down, or anywhere in between.
The same trusted voices, great music, sport, news, and stories from across the Pacific, now easier to catch than ever.
Tune in, stay connected, and make ABC Radio Australia part of your 2026.
ABC Radio Australia, yours in the Pacific.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.